So as we have been reporting, today the Newfoundland and Labrador English School District announced plans to reopen schools in September. Of course, things will be very different. Mandatory masks in part of the schools, reduced school activities across the board, a limit on bus capacity from 72 down to just 46 students. Students living furthest from the school will be offered the seats first. That means about 6,000 students will no longer be able to ride the bus. The new protocols mean that most students will have to wear a mask in the communal areas of the school, in the hallways, in the cafeterias, on the school buses, but not in the classrooms themselves. After today's announcement, of course, there were questions from the media, and they started with why masks are not required in class. Here is the province's chief medical officer, Dr. Janice Fitzgerald.
Our goal in all of this was to have kids go back to school in as normal a way as possible. And so at the moment, with our prevalence being where it is, we've made the decision that when children are in classes and they're seated and their chairs can be distanced from each other by, you know, as much distance as possible, we think that they can sit safely without wearing a mask. But when they're up and on the move and they, you know, could be coming into closer contact with each other, then they will have to wear a mask. So that was our reasoning behind that decision. Obviously, as with anything, and as I've said many times, if the information we get changes, if the evidence changes, then we'll change. But that's where we're going to start.
Hello, yes, thank you. Mark Quinn with CBC here. I wondered, Mr. Stack, if you could go through the screening that will be done. If I understood correctly, each student will be required to fill a form daily for screening. Is that correct?
So we're working through whether or not they had to fill the form. What we would like to do, like, I think in an ideal scenario, a parent would have it, put it on your fridge, make sure you go through that checklist every day. Obviously, as we get into the routines, you're going to know what that checklist is. On the front end, initially, it might be a good practice for parents to go through the exercise with their children. And I'll defer to Dr. Fitzgerald for any amplification of that.
You know, at this point, it would be the expectation that parents would go through this screening tool on a daily basis, and staff as well, to ensure that they don't meet any of the criteria there on the tool. And if they don't, then it's safe to come to school.
Just further on the school buses, we're getting a lot of reaction on that from places where it's pretty dangerous to walk the roads. We heard in the briefing that whatever you had to purchase, masks, cleaning equipment, etc., would be done regardless of cost. Just wondering, on school buses, have you or do you plan to try to acquire extra buses, do extra runs to meet the demand, those 6,000 kids?
Short answer to that is yes, Brian. We'll look at that, but at this juncture, in fact, you know, just the supply chain for the acquisition of buses is a challenge. Our contractors are limited in what they have available. If there are buses, extra transportation resources out there, we'll certainly explore that. But we want to be realistic and not increase expectation that this is a solution that can be applied everywhere. There is not only difficulty in sourcing additional student transportation resources in the form of the vehicles, also the personnel. Recruiting drivers is a challenge. And that is part of this. So I wouldn't want to create an unrealistic expectation that we could resolve it that way. We'll do what we can and what's available. And we will be, you know, buses are required through a process involving all of the other Atlantic provinces. And, you know, we will do what we can to leverage that that buying power and talk to the province about a best approach.
Regarding extracurricular activities, if I understood correctly, some extracurricular activities will be done during lunch, but the school district is advising against choir and wind instruments. I wonder if you could talk about why those two things, choir and wind instruments, are being advised against.
There is some concern, certainly with regard to both singing and with playing wind instruments, that there is an increased risk of spread of virus, right, through droplets. So we know that when we sing, when we play certain instruments, there may be, and we produce more force behind that, and so we may be able to spread those particles further in the air. And so there's not a lot of evidence out there that's looking at this right now, and so we have erred on the side of caution, I guess, to make that recommendation. We are still looking at it. There is still some research going on, so those recommendations may change as time goes on, depending on what the evidence tells us. But we do know that we have had, there have been significant outbreaks in areas where people have, where there has been singing. There's not definitive evidence that the singing is what caused it, but, we're trying to be as careful as we can to start with the school year. So, if the evidence changes, again, will change, as I've said many times before.
Kellyanne Roberts with NTV. Kellyanne, your mic is unmuted.
Thank you. Are substitute teachers able to go to different schools in a single day, or are they only to do one school per day?
Right now in this plan, we haven't delineated that. It's the whole issue of substitute teachers. We are looking at it deeper. There may be ability, as I said before, where we can, based on previous historical usage of substitutes, actually assign them and group them with particular schools to minimize the interaction. But in terms of just like itinerant staff, if virtual can be accomplished for itinerant staff, we'll encourage that. But in the case of substitutes, then it falls down to the other protective measures, such as the physical distancing, the mask wearing, and the appropriate PPE.
That is Tony Stack, CEO of the Newfoundland and Labrador English School District. We also heard Janice Fitzgerald, the province's chief medical officer, taking questions from the media about the school district's back-to-school plan. Now, moments after the plan was announced, we heard from the unions whose members will be affected. Firstly, the Newfoundland and Labrador Teachers Association. As we heard, masks will be mandatory in schools, except in the classroom, but there is a line in the plan that stipulates, quote, no student is required to wear a mask if they cannot tolerate it. We've been mentioning that as it comes to the province's mandatory mask rule for all citizens, that starting next Monday, masks will be mandatory in indoor public spaces. We are still waiting to hear how that will be applied to anybody with a respiratory condition or other medical conditions that make wearing a mask intolerable. As of 15 minutes ago, that detail had not yet been added to the government's website. We are watching it for you. I know a lot of people are asking. We'll try to bring it to you by the end of the show if it becomes available. But getting back to the schools, the Newfoundland and Labrador Teachers Association president, Dean Ingram, he is not convinced that the social distancing strategies in the school district's safe return to school plan will be sufficient. He explained those concerns to reporters this afternoon.
If our businesses were to integrate and utilize the same safety protocols that right now we see before us for schools, some of those businesses will be shut down. So therein lies the question, why is there the inconsistencies? Why is it that the investments have not been made to support our schools so they can maintain the same quality of health standards as are being demanded in other public venues?
As you said, the goal is to go back to school and safely as possible, keep students safe, mm-hmm. keep teachers safe. What does the NLTA believe should be done to do that?
I think as we've maintained consistently, people, space, time, and place, that's the metric we've heard since March. There are measures that need to be put in place. We need to have physical distancing. When physical distancing is possible, it's very clear. The best defense if physical distancing is not possible is the utilization of non-medical masks. What, to summarize what the NLTA believes, and I would suggest it's not just the NLTA, it's the people of this province, evidence in the feedback we've been getting, they want a consistency of standards. If it's not safe in a restaurant, if it's not safe on a metro bus, how is it that it's safe in a school? How is it that sanitation measures that we know are had to be enhanced throughout our province of schools, how is it going to be possible for the districts to provide the necessary sanitation measures without an influx of resources and staffing to allow that to happen? And these are serious questions. And what we are suggesting is what has to happen is that public health has, the government has to put in measures, the resources in place, make them available to the districts so that the same standards that are expected for your local corner store are the same ones that are happen for your community school.
What if they had made masks compulsory in the whole system, including in the, at the classroom level? Would that have eased a lot of your concerns?
It certainly would have brought a level of consistency that we don't see at present. Right now, what I see with regards to the non-medical masks, and again, going back to our chief medical officer of health's words, our minister of health, is that you wear them consistently. What I see before us right now is that with regards to non-medical masks, wear them if you choose to, if you'd like to. Whether school, and I said, if a student is adverse to them, don't wear them. You know, if they're adverse to it, what does that mean? Well, here's how I see the expertise translate in schools. What I've seen, what it will translate to is that the most popular students in that school will generate student behavior throughout the school. Either it's important safety measure or it's not. It's certainly been communicated as an extraordinarily important safety measure in many other public venues. It's so important that the chief medical officer has mandated that it has to be worn post August 24th. Myself personally and others, I have a trouble separating the notion that it's a critically mandatory safety measure in our corner stores, in our bingo halls, in our bars, in our restaurants, in our government buildings, but it's not a critical safety measure within our schools. I have a trouble myself rationalizing that concept. I have trouble rationalizing that a child above the age of 5 has to wear a mask if they accompany their parent to go get groceries. But the same child, many ways, if they're adverse to it, they can take it off in the school. These are the inconsistencies that I'm struggling myself personally and many others to understand.
You mentioned that you've just received the document and you're going through it. What's the next step once you've had time, once the association's had time to go through the document?
Well, once we've gone through, as I mentioned, we certainly may be making further comment at that time. I know that's really where things are too, is that to prejudge what we dig in, what our approach will be. But as I've said before, the NLTA has a legislative responsibility to speak on matters of interest for public education. The one thing I can say is that the NLTA will always advocate for what we need in our school system. And part of what's needed in our school system is ensuring that students, when they show up to school, when teachers go to school, when anyone that enters a school building is operating in a safe environment. So what I can say is the NLTA will be continuing to advocate and pressing for what's needed to ensure that the school system is a safe one for students, for teachers, for administrators, and anyone who enters our school buildings. And right now, we have questions as to why there are these inconsistencies.
That is Dean Ingram, the president of the Newfoundland and Labrador Teachers Association, responding to the Newfoundland and Labrador English School District's plan for the reopening of schools next month. Now, there's another large group of school workers that have to be considered. We're talking about the bus drivers, the student assistants, the administrative assistants, and the custodians who suddenly have a lot more work on their hands with the deep cleanings now required in the schools. The support workers are represented by NAEP, and the CBC's Mark Quinn spoke with NAEP President Jerry Earl for his take on the school reopening plan.
This has to be a very difficult challenge to come up with a reentry plan for about 254 schools across the province, and the safety of our children has to be paramount and the staff that works there. For us, there's still a couple of areas that we have to have further dialogue on. We represent custodial staff in a number of schools, along with a sister union, student assistants, and bus drivers. So there's some concerns in those areas that still remain.
Okay. And what are the concerns in those areas?
Give you an example with the custodial staff. We first heard the Director of Education talk about having additional staff brought on, only to learn they're talking about casual staff. That's needed, because when a permanent staff member is off, either isolated or ill themselves, they need to replace. That wasn't happening in the past. But the protocols and procedures in place, what we're hearing from frontline custodial staff, they don't have the physical resources, especially in many of the larger schools, to implement the protocols and procedures. For student assistants, for example, we've had see very little, and we have talks about student assistants that do everything from delegated medical acts. They assist the kids with exceptionalities to be introduced into schools, be able to attend school. We see no additional resources in that area, and we understand the situation the province is in. But if we're talking about the health and safety of our children, we have to look at what a couple of other provinces have done. I just seen, I believe it was Nova Scotia, come up with additional funding, Ontario with additional funding. So we really have to look at the resources that's there to ensure that the children can attend school safely. Because I think the vast majority of parents want to see kids back in school, but it has to be in a safe manner.
Does Nave think that enough resources have been allocated to make sure that schools are safe for students and teachers and other people who Nave represents?
In the couple of areas, like I said, for example, custodians know that the casual pool is important. But again, in that area, we believe in some schools, at least, there's got to be additional physical resources in that school. And again, for student assistance, for example, additional physical resources. They've addressed the concerns around buses to a fair degree, requiring masks, having a reduced capacity on the buses, and thinking about the safety. But again, some buses come up, fall under school boards themselves, and some are contractors, so I'm not even sure what's in place with those contractor services, for example.
That is NAEP President Jerry Earl with his reaction to the Newfoundland and Labrador English School District plan for reopening schools next month. Now, you've heard from the policymakers. It's your turn. We want to hear, what are your thoughts on the school district's plan? Are you comfortable with the rules and the regulations that they've imposed? Do you think it'll create a safe environment to send your kids back to school? What about some of the things like the busing issue, busing capacity being cut nearly in half? Students who live furthest away from the schools will get the first seat on the bus, but many students, more than 6,000 in this province, who are used to being bused to school will now have to get there a different way. And of course, there's the mask issue, as we've heard a lot of reaction to today in school, especially that students will have to wear a mask in the hallways, in the canteens, in the common areas, but not in the classrooms themselves. There's a lot to think about here, folks, and we want to hear your thoughts. Email onthego@cbc.ca or tweet me directly at Zach Gowdy. I'll put any reaction we get today on the show today. It's a lot to think about.